Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we research teen culture so you can focus on connection. My name is Tobin, and I am back again this week with Carly and Caleb, and we have a fun episode for you today. Today, we're going to talk about one of my favorite things ever, and that is fast food. I love fast food and fast food hacks specifically, but this is one of my favorite, you know, things to talk about ever. So, and then we're going to talk about some family dynamics that also include traveling with teens. As we enter getting closer into our holiday break, just some things to maybe keep in mind as we come closer to that stuff. So, but first, I want to start off now. It's almost lunchtime as we're recording this. So this is probably not a great idea because like I'm going to get really hungry when we talk about this. But fast food hacks. During the time of year when it's all about food, we're going to talk about what our favorite fast food meals and tips and tricks that you might have. And we're going to kind of go around. I'm going to bring up the rear because I feel like I have some really good stuff for this. So Carly, I'm going to start with you. What are some of your favorite fast food hacks that you might have?
So when I started thinking about this, I realized that they're all Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
But I'm not going to apologize for that because I think it's just the best fast food.
If you had a Starbucks one, you would just be a basic white girl right now, but that's okay. So just Chick-fil-A. Okay.
Yeah, that's fair. We're sticking with Chick-fil-A. But my absolute favorite thing to do at Chick-fil-A, especially if I'm taking it home and can do this in the comfort of my home, is to make my own mac and cheese bowl. And you could do this with a bigger meal. I do it with kids' meal because it's still a ton of food. But I get a kid's chicken strip meal with a side of macaroni and cheese. Then I get an extra side of fries. Then you put, like, cut it all up or tear it all up and stick it in a bowl all stacked up, usually fries, chicken, mac, but you can do your own order. And then you put ranch and their honey barbecue sauce over the top of it. Oh, it is so good.
That's good. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it is really, really good. And then if you want to go healthy-ish, a similar thing, and you don't want like the full salad, but you also want fries, you can also get a kid's meal with strips and fries and then get the side salad. Then you tear up the strips and put it on the side salad, and then you also get fries on the side.
Yeah.
So that's my other hack. And then if you don't know this, I don't know where you've been living, but I feel like it's worth mentioning. And at Chick-fil-A, if you get a kid's meal, you can trade the kid's meal in for ice cream. Mm. In the app, you can just make that choice. When you go to click on the toy, it'll give you the option to do ice cream. And then you get free ice cream. So all of the things I just mentioned, mac and cheese bowl and ice cream, salad and fries and ice cream. It's wonderful. Man,
yours are way healthier than mine. So that's probably a good start.
Oh, it's funny. It's funny too because she also goes like, "Do you want fries with a salad?" So it's great. It's the balance, but it's exactly. So true. The all amount of times balance. I get a salad, I'm like, "Well, you have to get a large fry."
That's like when you go to Chili's for a salad, and it's literally called like the quesadilla explosion salad. It's like, this is not a salad. Yes, this is exactly. Just yeah. Anyway, Caleb, what about you? What you got?
Well,
I'm excited about yours.
I have a few with Chick-fil-A as well because I worked there. So got some insider information for you. One of my favorite ones, sticking like with holiday theme, is at Chick-fil-A, and it's so good. And I know it's if you don't like peppermint, that's great. But the peppermint chocolate chip milkshake, the holiday season, is so good. And I don't think you can do it on the app, but if you go in person, get the shake, you can add the cookie crumbles. You can add the Oreo pieces to that milkshake, and they'll just do it for you. And it's so good. It's so good. Another thing you can do is you can make them have extra crispy fries, or you can request fresh fries as well, and they'll do it because they're Chick-fil-A. Having worked there, the extra crispy fry is the worst because you basically have to fry it. You put it into like whatever size, like if you order a large or medium, and then you have to refry it.
Oh, that's annoying.
Annoying.
They don't like you do that.
But it's extra crispy.
You don't mind being annoying.
It's guaranteed fresh, too, is the other thing if you do the extra crispy because they have to fry it that way.
This is a little bit off topic, but I kind of have a little bit of a hack if you're a fast food person and you are worried about your food being like fresh or not being fresh. One way to do that with Chick-fil-A, really any place, is get fries no salt. Because then they have to make them fresh because they're not sitting in that bin. And then you can add salt yourself however much you want. And honestly, too, with a lot of places, like that's kind of better because it's not going to be drenched in salt. And you can kind of control that a little bit better. But also, it definitely has risk to it because they can mess it up. But if you alter any order it guarantees that they have to make it. So like, if you get something like at a restaurant, like at a fast food restaurant, and you say like, hey, no mustard or whatever, it guarantees that they have to do it that right then and there. But there's also a good chance they'll mess it up too. So
it's so true. My other hack with Qdoba, big Qdoba guy. And I think it's because the amount of like, the fact that the queso is free on the bowl, the fact that all this, like, I'm a big, like, just like queso, I love the sauces, and it's all free. It's all great. But a hack there is you can do nachos. You can order nachos. You're like, great. And they'll make it the exact same way as a bowl. And you get free chips on the side, which is pretty great. You can also at Qdoba, because everything is free, order things on the side. So you can do like, I'll do queso on the side. And then they'll give you the chips too. It's basically just like free chips and queso.
So they don't put the chips on the bowl or under the bowl. They put it on them. Okay.
No, good to know. It's great. So
it's a great hack, Caleb.
Yeah, I know. So great. And then also my last hack, most important hack, is download the fast food apps. Mm-hmm. Okay. For going back to girl math, it's free money. It is free money. And like the Chick-fil-A app is so great because it's quicker. Okay, curbside solid. And then you get so many rewards. I've stayed a silver premium member for like 3 years straight. And that's me solo. I'm not ordering for anyone else but me.
You and Haley don't combine? No, we're red signature members forever, baby.
Yeah.
Okay, I will say just quickly, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Chick-fil-A is starting to do a mobile, have you seen this? A mobile line. So some Chick-fil-A's, when you go through their drive-thru, there's a separate line for mobile orders and you don't have to talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. You scan a QR code and it says like, and it's like, you're here. So you don't have to like give them your name. And then you pull up and they just hand you your food.
That's amazing. Wonderful.
A few Chick-fil-A's are doing the thing where they're redoing their drive-thru to not have a window. It's like sliding doors, which is wild. So they can just like walk out straight to you. Chick-fil-A is so great. Get the app. The way I do it is I'll save up my points and get a 30 count nugget for free. And then I have two meals or one if I'm really hungry. So it's my life.
Hilarious.
And really not just Chick-fil-A. Like I've gotten in the practice in the last couple of years of downloading all the apps for all the food places because it's right. Like, and honestly, what I've been doing is like, even if I'm going to the place, I'll order ahead of time just because it does give you better points and gives you good deals and stuff like that. So, okay, for mine, for years, I have been doing in the app, this works too, for McDonald's, if you get a McChicken, they're like $2, right? You can get a free one with your rewards for like 1,000 points, and you take away one of the buns and you make a double McChicken, and it's even better.
Ooh.
Yeah, nice. That's one. You can get a grilled cheese at McDonald's if you ask them for like a burger with no meat. It's a grilled cheese, essentially.
Nice.
A couple of mine are homebound things, but anytime I order from like a Thai place or Chinese food or something like that, a lot of times I'll ask for extra meat or I'll order just meat portions and I'll make the rice at home because it's cheaper and it's a lot easier and like you can kind of cater it to how you want it. If I don't feel like making the rice, if I do whatever, I also do that with pot stickers and egg rolls. So like if I have like frozen egg rolls or some pot stickers, I'll make those really quick at home and then I'll go pick up the food and I'll come home or I'll throw them in the air fryer and then I'll go pick up the food. Then by the time I get home, they're ready. And that saves you the money. Yeah, that saves you the money from buying expensive appetizers when you can buy a pack of, you know, 20 egg rolls for like $3 at the store.
Interesting.
One of my Chick-fil-A hacks is anytime you get grilled nuggets, like you just put the sauce in the bucket and you can shake it up and you kind of have like some like, you know, basted nuggets. And then also I do the same thing with like a spicy filet. Like I'll take the filet off, I'll put it in the bag that they give you and shake it up with the sauce and then put it back on the bun and it's kind of like a, you know, the sauced filet. It's really good.
Wow.
So
this is great. Learning so much. I need to take notes.
Yeah, something that I've created so this is not really fast food, but I worked at a snow cone stand. My first job was at a snow cone stand. And if you ever worked in a snow cone stand, you understand the pain of slow days. They are the worst when you're in a snow cone stand. And this is like pre-phones and smartphones and stuff. And so like I literally all I had was a little old school like black and white TV and a radio that I could listen to Rangers games on if they happened to be on. And that was basically it. But so what you do in a snow cone stand is you start making concoctions of things that you're not exactly sure will work together, and you get a lot of nasty things. But one of the ones that I came up with, and they put it on the menu at this one in Mansfield. I don't know if it's, they're not still there anymore. It's called a frog in a blender because it is green apple, cinnamon, and grape all together. And it looks like you put a frog in a blender. And I'm telling you, it works. I promise. Like, I promise. Go try it. I promise it works.
That sounds so gross.
I'm telling you, it does.
Apple, cinnamon, grape?
I'm telling you, it works. I'm telling you.
Okay.
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 I like, if I had a way to get send snow cones to you with, you know, grape, I promise you it would, it's really good. Because it kind of has, it has that sweet and sour, and then the cinnamon kind of takes away some of the sourness of it. It kind of adds like a little spice to it. So.
Next time I get a snow cone, I'll do that. I will say, piggybacking off weird combinations, should have included this. Cheese curds at Buffalo Wild Wings, really good, okay? You can also get it with caramel sauce. Dip the cheese curds in caramel sauce, okay?
Okay.
Okay, I know you're looking at me weird. It's crazy. Basically, here's my theory on it. Tastes kind of like funnel cake. It's because I think the cheese curds, like, it's like mozzarella, so it's like not a ton of flavor. It's mainly just a texture thing. So you're just getting like the whatever they fried it in plus caramel.
Okay, I'm not hating on it because I think that there's a chance, but what motivated you to try that?
Some guy at Buffalo Wild Wings, because I love the cheese curds, we go and it's like, hey, you need to try this. I was like, okay.
So some guy that's eaten that food way too much.
Yes.
To this, yeah. Sure. So okay. Then all right. Then,
yeah.
I will going back to your snow cone, Tobin, if you have a Bahama Bucks near you. Do you remember what's the threshold, Caleb? If it is like cold enough, you'll have to look this up.
I wonder if it's still a thing.
It is.
There's a sliding scale. So below freezing,
you get extra punches to your card.
I think it's 3 punches and then 2 if it's between like 32 and like.
And it's 40. Genius because they know that when it's cold, no one's going to go there unless they have an incentive. So it's genius.
Yeah. Yes.
That is a Lubbock started business, so Recom Tech. So my last one, I think this is a genius idea, and this is very much a, like, if I worked in the QT development department, I would absolutely, like, somehow, like, get this on the menu. I would love that so much. Yes, that would be Tobin's dream job, is you're going to develop QT roller concoctions.
Yes.
That is absolutely my dream job. They just came out with an orange chicken one that's like, it's different, but I'm like, good on you for doing something different. I like it. So mine is, if you get, it depends on the chicken tenders, but like if you get chicken tenders and mozzarella sticks, put them in a hot dog bun and put a little bit of marinara sauce on them. It's like a chicken Parmesan hot dog and it's fantastic. Now, again, I have to have Tums with that, but it's really good.
Wow.
I'm telling you.
You can do that at a QT, really, you said?
No. Or I'm just like saying, if I worked at QT, I would put this on the menu. Okay. Yes.
I see. That's good.
So if you have any fast food hacks, then this is a great time to send them to us. I personally, Tobin wants them. So please send them, just even if it's just to make me happy. Please send any fast food hacks. If we get any, we'll kind of share as we go on.
Yeah, we'll try them and we'll let you know on the pod how it goes.
Yeah. And that would be so great. Add a quick trip, like to be able to go in. They should just do mozzarella sticks anyways, just for a road trip, be able to grab some Tums there, because they have those in the sections. Grab some Tums, grab your chicken Parmesan hot dog, and then hit back the road. And as we talk about, you know, road trip snacks and, you know, traveling, there's a lot of traveling with Christmas. I know growing up, we would always go to Colorado, Carly, and I'm going to ask a question, then immediately answer it. Because first thing is, like, what do you remember about traveling as a teenager? And for me, the only thing I remember is being cramped in the third row of the car. Okay. In between, because we'd have to lay the seats down. So there's only one seat up, and then I'm surrounded by presents and clothes and suitcases. And here I am sitting at 6'2", the tallest member of the family, and my two siblings are in the front. They're like, Caleb, get back there.
Because you're the
baby.
It's
terrible. Oh my gosh. I'm like, no, don't get me started. I'm 6'2", okay? I'm like over, like 260 at the time, and I'm having to crawl in the back. It's messed up. It is so messed up.
As the oldest member of my siblings, I fully support Carly in this situation. So
thank you. Thank you, Shelby. Yeah. I will say, when I think of traveling as a teenager, I think of all the movies that we watched in the back.
Yeah.
And like the old school DVD players. I remember this wouldn't have been a teenager, but remember like the box TVs that had the VHS.
The CRV. Like,
yeah, that you would like duct tape to a crate to watch TV in the back. But that's because I didn't have internet on my phone.
Kids these days have no idea what it's like to be on a road trip. Even you guys, you just said I didn't have internet on my phone. I didn't have a phone. They used to have these things that were like you'd sit in the little back pocket of your car. And it's like we're gonna play car bingo, and you're sitting there looking at all these stupid cars. Like, there's a Mazda. Okay, there's a Ford. Like, yeah. So you guys have nowhere to talk.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. But I remember we would watch The Parent Trap because a lot of times mom and dad would be like, one. Now, when we got older teenagers, that's different. But they'd be like, you can watch one movie before lunch. And we'd be like, what is the longest movie that we own? And it was The Parent Trap.
I remember watching Jim Carrey's Grinch on repeat. My favorite.
Your reasoning for the one movie. Like
they were trying to limit screen time or something like that. Okay. I don't know.
You're on a road trip. I mean, it's just like.
Like I said, when we got older, that wasn't a thing. But earlier, like when we were younger, it was like you could watch, we would watch like three movies the whole day, but they would like pace them out.
And then you started getting Carly like all the DVD sets of like Boy Meets World and stuff like that.
That's legit. But you know what, Chris and Stacey, if you don't like the screen time, you can take them on a plane and they can get there a lot faster. Oof. So just saying. Just saying.
That is so true. So with flights, I know some teens have flight anxiety. It's not something that I always loved, you know, being able to watch. But I mean, do y'all have any ideas to ways to handle that for teens who have flight anxiety?
So I have flown with someone with flight anxiety before, and it's hard because I don't have that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not coming necessarily from a place of understanding, but I also know like that's not something that is necessarily like controlled. Like, it's not like they're choosing to be difficult or choosing to have a hard time. I know that they would rather not be struggling. My biggest idea or tip is do whatever you can to distract them on takeoff. So talk to them, maybe show them something, be like, hey, have you seen that? And like, try to get their mind off of what they're doing. When I did it, Sawyer's with me. And so I was like, Sawyer, like... Say something funny, like Joe, like put them next to a kid that they feel like they have to keep it together for, maybe. But it is hard, and especially if there are storms and it's a choppier plane ride. So try to think ahead on some things that would be distracting for them instead of them just sitting there and thinking about it the whole time.
And make sure they're not all like technology driven, because there's a lot of times that like either the technology is not working yet or like the Wi-Fi is not up until you take off or something like that. So like my wife struggles with this. Like she doesn't do well with flights. And like I didn't fly for the first time until I was in high school because we just didn't ever fly as a family. And so it's like you said, Carly, it's really just finding distractions. But like, and it literally is like, I mean, bring some gum. You know, because that also helps with the popping the ears, but it kind of gives them something to kind of fidget with in their mouth. But also, like you said, like I think sometimes just sitting down and doing like a crossword or a Sudoku or whatever it might be, sometimes is the biggest way to do that, because it kind of keeps them focused on something that they can't that they still have to focus on the flight.
Mm-hmm. I know for me, my biggest flight anxiety comes from like. Not necessarily flying, but making sure, like, do I know where my gate is? Am I going to get lost? Am I going to get to the flight on time? And so, like, I know even as parents, even if your kids don't have anxiety like flying, at some point they'll probably have to fly by themselves. And so, like, being able to walk them through, hey, here's where our gate is. I'll be leading you here. But, like, walking them through, like, here's how you find your way through an airport if you ever have to do this by yourself, I think would be helpful at some point. But you know, going back to like, you know, flights, road trips, things like that, you know, like Sudoku, are there any good car games, flight games that you'd have for road trips? Like I know bingo, one of the things we'd always play is Mike House. The alphabet game's good. ABCD. But do you play it to where you have to find the word that starts with the letter?
Yes.
Some people play it to where if it's any letter on the billboard. I'm like, it's cheating.
Lame. Sorry, I cut you off though. What were you saying? What's your game?
My Cows. Y'all ever played My Cows?
No.
This is a game that as a student minister, I've started playing a lot because one of my students introduced me to it. Anytime you pass like a cow pasture, see any types of cows, the first person to say my cows gets those cows.
My That's cows? Like M-Y? Cows.
Yeah, they're my
I thought you were saying Mike House. So, okay, Mike House.
No, not, it's not Mike's house. my cows.
Cows.
So,
got it. Mm-hmm.
So you claim them, and then you keep score. One group of cows is one. Okay, you don't, you're not counting individual cows. It's too many. Okay, so each individual group is one. There's some other rules. Mm-hmm. If you pass a cemetery,
oh, no.
You say, I kill someone's cows. Okay, so then they're set back to zero. Okay, we're all caught up. Then, if you pass a church, you can say like, "Hey, my church, you get to revive your dead cows."
They're back. Way.
Yeah, and so then you keep track of it the whole way.
It's just got playfully sacrilegious.
Yeah, it's great. So then you keep track of it. By the end of the road trip, whoever has the most cows wins.
I feel like this is better if you actually count the cows, though. Because like, if you happen to see like a pasture that's like full of 1,000 cows, you can be like, yeah. Oh, mine, I'm automatically the winner. You know, I don't know. But I get that would be really hard to keep track of, though.
On the way to Rio Doce, you always pass the, you know, like feedlots in Amarillo. And nice. Everyone's like, my cows. And you're like, that's one. Sorry. Sorry. Got to draw a line somewhere. So there's that one. Mafia was always a favorite mm-hmm. in road trips, like as a student in vans going to like mission trips, stuff like that. Card games.
I'll say too, put on the radio and do like a guessing, or radio, you can do this with Spotify now or Apple Music, but like do a guess the song or guess mm-hmm. the who sings it kind of games. We used to play like a movie game where you'd name a movie and then the next person would have to say a movie that started with the last letter of that movie.
Yeah.
So, like, if you did, I don't know, Old Yeller, the next person would have to do an R movie, and you keep going, and you can't repeat movies. So, stuff like that also can bring in, like, the driver mm-hmm. that doesn't have to be looking, but they can also play. Or throw out icebreakers. Like, come up with some funny icebreaker questions, yeah. or would you rather, or, what's the game where you, Never Have I Ever.
Never Have I Ever. One of the new ones.
You might get some answers you don't want from your teenagers, but maybe that's time to figure out some
that's
things.
A dangerous game. Yeah, it is. Don't know how I feel about that.
One of my new favorite ones is a game called Wavelength. It's a little hard to describe, but basically one person will like have their eyes closed if they're driving, like really focus on the road. Everyone else comes up with a number 1 to 10. And then the person who had their eyes closed goes around and asks people a category. So like shoe brands, and whatever number they decide on, if it's like a 7, that person has to say what they think, you know, hey, this brand's about a 7, you know. Or so then you go around and ask everybody a different category, like fast food brands, and then by the time everyone's gone, the person who had their eyes closed tries to guess the number. So it's pretty fun.
I'll post a TikTok video of that because there are lots of TikTok videos explaining that. We've played that before mm-hmm. with a group of friends, and it was pretty fun. As long as people understand it.
If yeah.
One person didn't understand it, and they ruined it for everyone, but it's fine.
Yeah, it happens.
I do think traveling with teens, too, one thing I do want to bring up, especially as they get older, if you're a parent, start thinking about who packs for the trip.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe especially if they're a boy, make sure they have a list, or make sure you're asking questions to make sure like there are enough underwear being brought on the trip. But as Caleb said, like, especially if you have high school students, they're not far off from going on trips by themselves, from potentially flying by themselves, from going to college by themselves. So give some responsibility back to them when it comes mm-hmm. to traveling. Have them come up with some snacks that you can bring. That is my number one tip. If you're traveling anywhere,
mm-hmm.
flight or car, you got to have a really strong snack game, or it's going to be a real bummer real quick. And obviously, when it comes to traveling, there are a lot of family dynamics that play into the car, like Caleb having to climb into the back seat as the baby brother. But a lot of times you're also dealing with extended family, which we love our extended family, but I mean, I just feel like lots of families have family members who are either maybe a little more difficult, or family members that they have never met before or have only met a few times. And if you have a teenager with some social anxiety, that is not fun. Like if they're staring at a week of being locked in a cabin with family that they don't see very often, or a grandparent who's going to ask the same question over and over again, like it's kind of like, what do you do? And I want us to kind of talk about what are some ideas to set them up for success, for how to interact with people that they might not be super close to. And I'm just going to start by saying, do not force them to hug.
Mm.
And I feel like that's tough, because if like you have someone who is like a family member who's really wanting that, to look at them and be like, they don't have to do that. They can be polite, but I mean, like their body, their choice. Don't force them to hug if that makes them really uncomfortable. Maybe we can do like a fist bump or a handshake, or maybe like a brief side hug, but like you don't have to go in for the full.
Plus, you're probably doing that family member a favor, because now like your child will forever be like, it's the person that like I didn't want to hug, then I had to hug, and you know, probably doing them a favor. But you're not that person anymore. Two, I think for me, it's a weird balance of making sure that they interact with family and things like that, while also giving them their space to decompress, to have their own time. I know for me, there's a lot of anxiety of just being around people, like interacting with and feeling like my parents would always have to make me make eye contact with people whenever I was really little. And I got better, but there were times where I just need time downstairs, just by myself, whether it's playing video games, things like that, in order to decompress and have enough social battery to interact well with family. And if that's empty and you're forcing them to interact with family, you're not going to get the most out of them. Your kid won't get the most out of that either, and just learn to almost resent or just be tired. And I think it's a balance of making sure that they do interact with family and build those relationships, because they're important, while also making sure that they're able to get the most of that and have their own time and space within the holidays.
Yeah, and two, like if you have a teen that is a big phone device person, like finding that middle ground of like, I'm real big on like, if we're a family, like, and we're hanging out, like you don't need to be on your device, like, which again, guilty as well, but finding that time of like kind of doing the same thing with Kayla saying, is giving them the time to decompress and maybe be on their phone, or it doesn't have to be like right before they go to bed. It can be like, hey, like this has been, you know, some people like, they have to have that recharge moment, or else you're just asking for trouble. So,
well, and I'll say too, if you have family coming to town to visit you, that disrupts your teenager's whole routine schedule. And that could be hard, especially if they're here for a long time. Like if you have grandparents coming to town for a week, then you're looking at your teenager going, you don't get to see anyone. You don't get to do anything you're used to. You might not even be in your room if you get displaced and have to sleep on the floor somewhere for a week. And so be intentional too about maybe say like, hey, why don't you invite a friend over to do this activity with us today so they can see some friends? Or, you know what, let's plan out the week. And we want, these are the times where it's important for you to be with family. But these are the times where if you want to go out, if you want to go to a friend's house, if you want to go grab dinner with someone, that they can also have the freedom to still see their friends and not feel like they're locked into family all the time, even if they're home.
I think too, even creating opportunities with family around things that they like, if it's board games, if it's video games, things like that, of like, you know, hey, yeah, you can go do that, but bring your cousin, bring, you know, if like, for me, I like playing video games. Sorry, wanted to go play video games with me. Yeah, like go do that. Creating space in a middle ground of things that they enjoy doing, things that they like, and being able to join in on that instead of expecting them to do things that adults like. It's you know, I think it's a middle ground there. You're being able to get the most out of them.
Yeah. And two, just, you know, like the main thing about this is just have fun and getting time with your kids and your family too. And next week, we're going to come back with our last episode before the holiday break. And we're going to talk about this. We're going to do the Teen Life Podcast Christmas Party. We're going to bring back some old friends and introduce them into this setting that we have now. But we're going to do a lot of like favorite holiday things and favorite movies and stuff. So if you need ideas on what you possibly could do with your family during this time, come back next week and check out our podcast and our Christmas party. So that about wraps us up today from what we've been talking about today. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube or any podcast platform and leave us some reviews. Send us your fast food hacks, because again, we want them. So send that to us. And don't forget that today, teenagers are not a problem to be solved.